Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today is August 24th, 2016. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 18,481, the NASDAQ at 5217, and the S&P at 2175. It's a gorgeous day out there. I should introduce myself. This is Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a CFP and an AEP, which is an accredited estate planner, on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, as well as finding prior shows on that website and downloading podcasts to listen to at your convenience and for topics that you're most interested in. So please visit wdiy.org. Tonight I am talking about to-do lists for listeners and for students or children, and of course always taking listeners' questions as well. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori Catanzaro is in the studio with us this evening. She'll answer your calls, take your information. We ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio, and I will do my best to answer. The phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Questions are also welcome at email, yourfinancialchoices.com. So I am back from vacation. I've been out 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks, so it's been a while, but I did leave on a high because the last time I was here, we were taking listeners' questions, and you responded en masse. I loved it. It was a beautiful evening, so I thought that's usually my excuse for not getting phone calls, but it's a beautiful evening tonight as well. But a few weeks ago, people called and asked questions. I love questions. That's fun for me, and at any time, folks can call in with questions. I do like taking your calls and questions, so I just wanted to throw that out there. It doesn't matter what the topic is each week. I'm usually more sensitive when I have guests. I like to make sure our guests have plenty of time to talk about their topic, but when I'm just here by myself, love questions. So that phone number is 610-758-8810. So you might wonder what I mean by a to-do list for listeners. It seems to me that every year as the summer winds down and we come back from vacations or school breaks, we have this dramatic shift back into reality. The reality of working, going to school, perhaps we had time to reflect when we were on vacation. Sometimes we have our vacations with our family and, you know, we get to talking. So maybe we're reflecting on where we are in life, our careers, our goals, our dreams. And we start thinking about whether or not we have all of our ducks in a row. So I always have found that September seems to be a very busy month for me with people wanting to do financial planning and see how they are, where are they. Sometimes they want to reach a particular goal by the end of the year and they still think they have a few months to do that. So September is quite a busy month. So I thought, you know what, why don't we talk about some of the to-dos as they relate to the elements of financial planning? So I'll talk about some small steps, some simple to-dos that are not all-encompassing, but will get you started in the right direction. So not all-encompassing. I'm not going to cover every aspect of financial planning. First of all, financial planning for each person is very, very different, like a fingerprint. I don't believe in across-the-board recommendations or things like that, but certainly some basic generic kind of to-dos that we can start to put our house in order. So kind of from a broad standpoint, we have the elements of financial planning, which are cash flow, investments, tax planning, retirement savings, risk management, which is like insurance, and estate planning. Those are the big elements of financial planning. So I'll give you some quick ideas for that in just a second. We did have a call come in off air. Terry from Schnecksville called in. She said she's the executor of Mom's Estate. It's small, under $10,000. Pennsylvania law, are there special rules? No probate of will, how to manage small estate. Terry, if you have the internet, computer, internet, you can just Google, if it's Schnecksville, it's Lehigh County, you can Google Lehigh County Register of Wills, small estates, and they will, some information will come up. So there is some information. I've not done this. Typically, people will possibly use an attorney or do the probate themselves. What I have seen, and I'm not an attorney and I can't give legal advice, but what I have seen sometimes, it's sometimes easier to just go in and probate than even do the small estate administration. So I want to kind of alert you to that, because it's so easy to probate in Lehigh County. You basically get a petition to probate. That's available on the website as well. Completed, say the estate's under $10,000, and if you have a will and a check for some filing fees, you can get what's called the short certificate, letters of testamentary, and that's your documentation that would be needed. For example, if Mom had the $10,000 in a bank account, you give that to bank, and you can have that account switched to the estate. If it was in her name alone, you want to watch to make sure it wasn't, you know, joint with someone. But there are special rules for small estates. $10,000 would be under that small estate rules. But I would suggest just going to the Lehigh County website for the Register of Wills or probate. You can just Google small estate probate in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania, and you'll be taken to the website and find that information. Again, sometimes I think it's just as easy to probate. And the probate fees in Pennsylvania are not that much. So you want to kind of check out what your options might be. You could go probably either way because you're local. It's not that hard to go downtown and probate fairly easy. All right? I hope that helps a little bit. So when we're talking about a to-do list for the elements of financial planning, I mentioned cash flow. What I want to talk about as I get into the details of this a little bit more, cash flow, we're going to talk about using something called the funnel method to help people control their cash flow. And I also want to talk about what students need to pay attention to, because young people too, because it is the fall and we've got students who might be listening or parents whose kids are just going to college for the first time, some things that you want to share with your college age students, even maybe high school students. Another element of financial planning, investments. I need you to do an inventory. And students, I want you to understand a way for you to start investing. Tax planning, do some projections of any unusual activities to understand the impact on your taxes. Sometimes people don't realize that certain transactions that they have happened during the year might impact them for their tax return. And rather than be surprised in April that you owe tons of money, let's do some projections. Let's be some proactive. We're going to talk about that. Students, I think what a great time if you've worked to prepare your own tax return so you can understand what a tax return looks like, W-2. So we're going to talk about that. Retirement savings for folks, if you have not contributed to a retirement account yet this year, maybe you have one through your employer, What are you doing about it? Let's get you started on that. We'll talk about that. Students, there's things like Roth IRAs. And we'll talk about some of those other elements of financial planning, the risk management and estate planning. And then I have a few other tips for you. Right now, we're taking our first break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY has tripled its broadcasting power. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and this is your host, Lori Siebert. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Apologize. Kind of lost where I was going, right in the middle of that number. So if you have questions on air or off air, I'm happy to see what we can do to help you there. Tonight we're talking about to-do list as it relates to financial planning, and that September, which is right around the corner, is quite often a time where I see people starting to address their financial situations. It's like a last-ditch effort before the end of the year to say, oh, I am accomplishing one of my New Year's goals or something like that, my New Year's resolutions. I said I was going to save money on January 1st. I haven't saved any. Oh, I've got a few months left here. Let's see what we can do. 4 months left in September, October, November, December. So we talked high level, the elements of financial planning, cash flow, investments, tax planning, retirement savings, risk management. That's insurance. We want you to know your coverage. Students, don't take risks with your parents' assets. So when we talk about risk management, insurance, why do we insure? We insure against risk. Risk of, like, our student who is driving the car, 80 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. That could cost money. So risk management, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Estate planning, get your estate documents in order, parents. Students, have open conversations with your parents about their wishes if something should happen to them. Maybe you're, 19 going off to college and you're the oldest of three and you've got some younger siblings at home. Hey, mom and dad, if anything happens to you, who's in charge? Who do I talk to? Who's going to take care of us? Who's going to take care of the younger siblings? That kind of thing. Other things that I think folks should pay attention to as far as a to-do list for the fall is review your credit card statements for recurring charges that may need to be stopped or revisited. Maybe you set up some kind of automatic payment plan on a credit card, 4 years ago, and it might be to automatically pay for life insurance, or it might be to automatically pay for a subscription to a magazine or cable or something like that. Even your phone bill could be automatically debited or charged to your credit card or automatically debited onto your bank account. And we kind of forget about revisiting them. And we don't realize, 4 years ago, they might have been the only option in town. And maybe now there's more competitors and there could be cheaper rates out there. So we can't forget about those automatic debits or those automatic charges on our credit cards or our bank statements. So you want to make sure you look at that. This has worked out quite well for a lot of companies that people go paperless and they get all their statements and everything online. Well, then we forget to go look at them. We might forget to review our statements. So that is something you want to make sure you're revisiting, looking at. The other item I just always want to caution people about, and I mention this quite often on the radio, is to be aware of scams. Be very, very wary of scams. I know that we recently at our office received a notice from the IRS in general to all tax preparers to be cautious of software scams where there's these email scams saying you need to update your software, your tax software. And those scams are also going out to people who might be using some of those off-the-shelf tax software programs. So be careful if you're getting emails from what you think is a tax software provider telling you to update. You really need to check it out. Be wary of it. Be careful of scams. As always, be wary of any kind of phone call or email from the IRS. They don't email people and they don't call people. If they have an issue with your tax return, they're going to send you a notice. If you're married filing joint, they're going to send a notice to two of you, the husband and the wife. So both spouses will get a notice from the IRS if it was a joint return. Sometimes people will say, I don't know why they sent us two. Well, sometimes they'll send you two because you're married filing joint. Okay, we had a caller call off air, John from Bethlehem. I hope I can answer this question. He said he co-signed college loan for the daughter at Wells Fargo. Lack of footprint of credit, but got it because of salary and mortgage. He wants to move the mortgage to Wells Fargo to lower the rate on the daughter's loan. What's my take on a secure loan that would double points of credit? True? And do I have any advice on that? I am not sure if I'm interpreting the question right. I think what you're saying is a loan that has the home as secured, that's securing the loan, the home is securing the loan, would that double the points on the credit? So I think what you're saying is you yourself didn't even have really a history for your credit report. They gave you the loan because of having a salary yourself and that you had a mortgage maybe somewhere else because you're asking, you want to move the mortgage to Wells Fargo. I think what you could do is ask Wells Fargo what the impact would be if you were to have your mortgage there. John, my concern for you would be, I think sometimes if you apply for too much credit or move your credit around, that could impact your credit score. So you might, you know, want to see how long you've had your current mortgage and with which lender. I was going to mention one of the to-dos for tonight for folks was to review what your mortgage is currently, what rate of interest you have, and the period that you have. What I want to caution you about is sometimes when you move your mortgage, you're refinancing, there's a lot of extra cost with that. You may, depending on how long you had the prior loan, this could end up costing you more money. Depending on how long you think you're going to have that loan into the future, like how long are you going to stay in the house you're in, that might not be worth refinancing. And sometimes people think they refinance and it lowers their monthly payment. It could be because you're extending the period on the loan again. So sometimes people will refinance and they'll say, well, I had a 23-year loan and I was paying $1,000 a month and now I'm going to refinance and I'm going to get my loan payment down to $850. Well, if you do it for 30 years, you might be paying more money again. So sometimes you want to see an amortization schedule of what your current loan is and what a future loan might be to see in total what is the total interest paid over the life of each of those loans so that you're not paying more because you're going over a longer period of time. So you might get a lower interest rate, but you're paying over a longer period of time. So I'm not exactly sure if I answered your question. I would just be careful. You already have you just co-signed a student loan. You're just a co-signer at Wells Fargo. I'm not sure you would have to move your mortgage there. But if you can get a better rate, again, depending on the period of time, you want to see how that works out. So if you ever change a loan, look to see what the amortization schedule says for that period of the loan. Someone should be able to run that, and always at the bottom of an amortization schedule, it has the total payments and the total interest, and you want to compare the two and see which one helps you out. Now, on occasion, we will have people who will have a change in a job, and maybe they just can't afford that $1,000 a month, and if they refinance at $850, for a longer period of time, they might still be paying more, but maybe their monthly amount is enough to let them breathe and you know, manage their cash flow. So there are times when you have to refinance for a lower payment, but I always would make sure if someone's going to refinance for a lower rate that they're doing it and it's not costing them so much more in fees and they're not paying it for a longer period of time that lower rate isn't really getting them ahead. Okay? I hope that all makes sense. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. The phone number this evening, 610-758-8810. If you have questions, we're just doing a little punch list of to-dos for the fall. Kind of get you all started, get ahead of the game. Maybe you'll even do it in August because we still have another week or so left and you'll be really ahead. So we were talking about just some overview of to-dos. One of the items I mentioned, reviewing credit cards and bank statements for recurring charges. You want to see, are they still valid? Do you still need them? Is there a better deal out there? Be wary of scams. Watch out for email scams, IRS scams. Don't give out any personal information, and certainly don't go put any money on a debit card for scammers who are calling you and telling you they're from the IRS and they want your money on a debit card, because that just is not true. The other thing that a lot of people don't do, they need to have their passwords and account information somewhere so that if anything happens to you, someone can tap in. My brother just lost his best friend, and this really came in handy because there were passwords and accounts that needed to be addressed and taken care of, and certain automatic payments for things like a mortgage that needed to be kind of monitored a little bit. So you want to make sure that you have those secured but written down for someone and share them with that trusted family member or friend or person who's going to be, let's say, your executor or trustee or power of attorney or your spouse. All right. We have a call on line one. We have Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Lori.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good, good. Gorgeous night up here. Or how is it out your way?
Beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, how can I help you?
Well, I want to thank you so much for motivating me to get much of my financial life in order. but one of the things that's still on my to-do list, and I don't know why, but maybe you can give me some motivation. I don't regularly check my credit report. Mm-hmm. I know I have a good credit score, and it just doesn't seem that important to me, but mm-hmm. it probably is. How important is it? How often should one check? And what's the easiest way to do that?
Well, there's three credit reporting services that we have to be able to get that information from free. And I think we can do it at least once a year to any of these three or all three. But what I usually will say is, you know, just check one or the other. I think the last time I had checked, I did two of them at once. And what was really interesting for me, Carolyn, is then later I went to sign up for a Social Security account. On Social Security's website, you can sign up for My Account. and they ask you all kinds of questions. And if I hadn't had those credit reports available, I'm not sure I would have been able to answer all the questions because they asked you, did you have this credit card? Did you have this? So it was kind of interesting. But the three services are Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And the reports look a little different of the two I had checked, and I don't recall which two I had done, but and I was doing it kind of as a test for the radio show because, frankly, to be honest, I really never checked my credit because I didn't think I needed to. I've been in the same house for, 18 years. But what I caution when I talk to listeners is you want to check your credit because you want to make sure that no one's, tapping or checking. But it had different information on the two different reports. So I don't know if it's because if you go to apply for a credit card, they might check with Experian or TransUnion versus Equifax. I don't know what drives the different information. But of those three, you can go on the website, you Google it. It's free. And it's not your credit score. It's just a credit report. So I think it's different to get your credit score, and there might be a charge for that. But this is your credit report. It'll tell you what credit you've had out there, who's checked, on your credit. Mm-hmm. It'll tell you that. So I think it's still a valuable report.
Okay.
And then you can use that and go sign up for an account on Social Security.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. Can I ask you one more quick question?
Sure.
I had done that. I wrote down the user ID and the password so I could do it again, and I checked just yesterday and typed in what I had written down, and it would not let me in. And then it said I had to wait 24 hours. So is it maybe because I hadn't been on the website in a while, or?
It might have been that. I don't know if what might have affected that is Social Security was going to add an extra level of authentication, and they were going to have people put in their cell phone number so that they could text you a code to enter when you went on the website for Social Security. The problem was that was leaving out all of this older generation who doesn't have cell phones, who don't text.
Right.
So they decided to not do that extra level of authentication. So I don't know, and I think that was supposed to start like now. So I don't know if maybe things got mucked up because first they were going to do it and then they weren't going to do it, or it had been a while since you had done it and they might require updated passwords every, sometimes 60 days or 90 days. So what I would do when you go in again in 24 hours is I'm sure there's probably a link that says you forgot your password.
Right.
And then they'll send you something.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that is probably the problem if you had written it down and you knew what it was supposed to be. And then they're probably going to ask you those security questions that you would have set up when you first did the account possibly. Okay.
Great.
All right. Good luck.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, if you have questions tonight, the phone number is 610-758-8810. I love the questions. I did want to mention to Terry in Schnecksville, if they're listening, that I had quickly kind of checked on the Lehigh County website to see if I could find something for a small estate administration, and I don't see a form right at the top of the list here, so it may not be as easy as I assumed it would be, but all you'll have to do is give them a phone call. I'm sure that you can ask the question, and they will answer for you. So just check with the Lehigh County Courthouse Register of Wills, look up that phone number, give them a call and tell them your situation, and I'm sure they'll be happy to help you. Typically, they do defer to you using an attorney. I'm just going to mention that. All right, so good luck with that, Terry. I hope that you get that resolved. But sometimes, Terry, let me mention one other thing. Sometimes what will happen is if the account is small enough and you take to the bank a copy of the funeral bill, And if the funeral bill is that much, sometimes they will release the money as well. I think that's one of the other ways around that. All right. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. When we come back, we'll go into a little more detail about our to-do list for September for your financial planning. Back in a minute.
A broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions 83 degrees under mostly clear skies. Tonight, clear, lows around 61. Thursday, sunny start, then increasing clouds in the afternoon with highs around 87 degrees. Friday, starts off clear, then a 20% chance of thunderstorms in the evening, highs around 91. Saturday and Sunday, sunny skies each day with highs in the upper 80s. Folks, the time now is 6:31 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. You can ask questions live on air or off air. Just give your question to Lori in the studio, and she'll bring it into Lori in the studio. All right. I'm a little slap happy because I'm just back from vacation. So let's talk about some to-dos. So cash flow, as many regular listeners know, because I say it all the time, is that in my observations, people who watch how much money they spend tend to have more money than those that don't watch what they spend. Makes sense, S-E-N-S-E, and makes sense, C-E-N-T-S. So we want to make sure we're monitoring how much we spend. And I'll give you a tip on how to do that if you're not someone who's good with a budget in just a minute. Right now we have a call on line one. We have Elizabeth in Allentown. Elizabeth, can you hear me?
Yes,
hi.
I can hear you.
Hi, how can I help you?
Yes, I'm wondering, my salary actually has increased enough to the point that I am kind of curious as to some helpful hints that you can point me in the right direction, which I should be doing to my W-4 so that I will not be possibly owing so many taxes at the end of the year.
Okay. So first of all, are you single?
Married.
You're married.
Yep, and recently, so that probably would have an effect as well.
Yes, it will, because what ends up happening, Elizabeth, is now it's combined income. Does your spouse also have earnings?
He does.
Okay. So one of the things I tell folks when you're kind of in a period of transition, what you might want to think about doing on your W-4, you can fill out your W-4 as married but withhold at the higher single rate.
Okay.
And if you both do that, they're going to withhold taxes as if you're single.
Okay.
What happens sometimes is when we combine our income when we're married, it throws us into a higher tax bracket. So possibly when we're single, we might have been making, you know, $20,000 and we're paying, you know, 15%, 10%, kind of an effective tax rate of 12% maybe. But then all of a sudden we're married and now our combined income kind of puts us over. Do you have children?
No.
Okay. So what happens sometimes when people work and then they have kids or they have a mortgage, that gives them more deductions than a standard deduction. If you think about it like this, what happens with an employer, they say, okay, you're making this much money. They go to a table and they say, this person making this much money, if they're married, filing joint, they assume it's just your income. You know, and then they say, okay, you're making this income less your standard deduction, less your exemption. Here's your taxable income divided by your pay period, and here's the tax we withhold. Then, so they're doing that married on just your income. Then your spouse's employer does the same thing. So they don't realize that when you combine your income, you're in that higher bracket. Sometimes if someone has a mortgage, that mortgage is a bigger deduction than their standard deduction sometimes. So people may not have to pay as much in tax because they have more deductions. We have, you know, our state and local withholding. We have our mortgage interest. We have our real estate taxes. We have charitable contributions. And all of a sudden, those deductions are much higher than our standard deduction. And maybe we have kids now, and that's another deduction. So sometimes those people have to go in with their W-4 and say, hey, employer, I'm married filing joint, and I've got 7 kids. You know, and so they'll adjust the withholdings to take out less. But in your situation, since did you get married this year?
We got married last year, but for whatever reason, it didn't affect our taxes so much, and it might be because we filled out our W-4 in a different way.
Right, you were probably both single at the beginning of the year, and you might have kept it that way.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm hearing correctly, it might be a great time to buy a house.
Well,
so that we can put that on our taxes too.
Yeah, well, that's something to look at. But what you want to make sure, what I tell people when you go to buy a house, just be careful. When my husband and I got our house, we assumed I would be working part-time, and it worked out really well because all of a sudden you buy a new house, and then you want to fill it with new furniture, and you want to decorate it, and all of a sudden you're spending way more money, and then you're bouncing checks. So if you go into a house buying less than you can afford, and realtors will probably tell you you can afford more than you can pay. You want to buy less than you can afford just in case something ever happens to either you with work. I like that flexibility. I like people to have options. But that would be a deduction for you. But I would try to save as much as you can. In this period of transition, if you do that filing status, hopefully your taxes will be covered. And then you may be in a refund situation next year. Don't know, see how it goes, feel it out, and then adjust it again if necessary. The other thing you want to make sure you're doing is if you have employer matching at either of your employers, you want to make sure you're putting money into your retirement accounts to get that employer match, at least that. If you don't have Roth IRAs are a great place to put money because you can always take out the original contributions. You just have to be under the threshold. Don't tell me how much money you make. I'm just going to tell you the threshold for married filing joints under $183,000. Mm-hmm. And you can put, oh gosh, I never remember the numbers. I think it's like $5,500 or $5,000. $5,000 into a Roth IRA if you're under age 50.
Yeah.
So what I love about that, Elizabeth, is that let's say you do that for 2 years and then you decide to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the money in the Roth IRA. You could always take out the original contribution if you needed it or you didn't have enough to quite, you know, make your down payment. You could pull that back out if you had to. So that's why I love Roth IRAs.
Would you mind if I ask one more question about Roth IRA, since it's been under my consideration?
Go ahead.
Would you suggest that in addition to a retirement fund through the employer, would you just stick with one?
Well, I like through the employer because if there's a match, that's great. And you also get that tax deduction, which we don't get the tax deduction with the Roth. But the idea with when you put the money in the employer plan, you really can't get that back out without complications, penalties, interest. You could borrow from a 401k to buy a house if you wanted, but there's interest rate on that. You're paying yourself, but there's sometimes loan fees. And if you ever lose your job, it's automatically due. The whole amount would be due. So the idea with the Roth is I like that you kind of save them for retirement, but you can still tap it. So sometimes I feel like with young people, it's the idea of knowing they can still get to it if they have to. So that's why I like them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gives you a little
great
security. So you could do a little bit of both.
I'm glad that we talked about that because it's been on my mind as well. So thank you for bringing it up. You've been very helpful with all of this.
Okay, great, Elizabeth. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Have a
good night. You too. Bye-bye. Great calls tonight. I'm really liking the calls. I love that people are thinking so much about all their different options and paying attention. So cash flow, we're talking about people who watch what they spend tend to have more money. Kind of makes sense. How can you do that if it's not in your nature? you know, some people just, it's like overwhelming. They can't stand the thought of having a budget. It's just not in them. The engineers love it, of course. But, you know, you're not an engineer. What do? Well, if you try to keep track enough of your expenses so you know how much you have to spend. So what do we have to spend? We have to spend on our housing, whether it's rent or mortgage. We have to spend on healthcare, perhaps. We have to spend something on food. That doesn't mean going out to fancy restaurants. It means going to the grocery store, making your own meals. So you have non-discretionary expenses, things like our car payments or car insurance. Here again, when we talk about car payments, you know, how much is your car costing you? So let's pay attention to how much we're spending, what we're spending things on. Look at what our non-discretionary spending is. These are our fixed expenses. They're going to be here. We have to pay them. What's left? That would be money available for non-discretionary spending or saving. So you kind of have an idea of what you spend. So let's say we have our non-discretionary spending, maybe $500 a month. Our paycheck is $900 a month. So I have $400 difference there. I'm going to throw $100 a month for entertainment. So now I'm at $600, and I still have $300 left over. Well, if I put my whole $900 paycheck into my savings account or my money market account, and I only transfer once a month $600, what I think I'm spending, then each month my checking account should kind of zero out. That means I'm on track with what I thought I was spending, that $600. My savings account's going to start to build up every month. That's great. If I have to keep moving money from my savings account, it means I'm spending more than I thought. And that's your kick in the pants to say, shoot, I'm spending more than I, you know, had budgeted. And I'm not going to be saving if I keep spending like this. So that's called the funnel method. You funnel it through a savings account, only transfer to the checking what you think you're spending or have to spend each month. The savings account will accumulate. We want to see a six-month reserve. So work on a six-month reserve if you don't have it. And I go back to the idea of the Roth IRA account. I love that as a reserve. So if you are under the income limitations for being able to do a Roth and you have some money that you've built up, you might want to think about whether it makes sense to park it over there in the Roth if you are otherwise you know, comfortable in your cash flow. We don't want you to put it in, take it out, put it in, take it out, put it in. You know, it's kind of an extra reserve. So that's something to think about. So that's kind of a quick to do. What else with cash flow? Oh, I wanted to talk about the mortgage. We mentioned that earlier about mortgage rates. Watch your mortgage rate. If you are someone who is kind of like underwater on your mortgage, I want to remind people about that HARP loan. If your mortgage is owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, and there's websites you can check on that to see if it is. It has to be your primary residence. There's certain requirements, but you may be able to refinance under the HARP. So just throw that out there. Someone who maybe has a high interest rate, they weren't able to refinance back in the day because they were underwater on their mortgage, you still might have a chance to take advantage of that. For children, for the cash flow, what I want kids to pay attention to, students, young adults, if mom and dad help fund your experiences and lifestyle, you should think twice about how much you spend their money. Would you spend the same way if it was coming out of your pocket? Probably not. So you need to be aware it could still be coming out of your pocket, because in the end, if you're good to your parents and they die and they will you all their money, there may not be any money there if you've spent it all in your youth. So kind of try to be aware, kids, of how you're spending your parents' money. What we used to say to our kids when they were young, half their money, gifts and stuff, went into a bank account. They had to save half. The other half they could use to buy, you know, things that they wanted. Well, it was so interesting because, do you really want to pay for that Xbox yourself? Well, all of a sudden they think, well, maybe not. Years later they did, but at the time, maybe not at that time. So it's very interesting when the kids have to pay for things themselves, how they change their mind on whether they really need that item or not. So students, I'm going to throw that out there. Anybody young who's listening, try not to spend your parents' money in ways that you yourself wouldn't spend. Investments, the to-do list, take an inventory of all your assets, what kind of assets they are, how are they titled, who's the beneficiary on them, who's the primary beneficiary, who's the contingent beneficiary, so that when you have a financial issue arise, you want to know your options and you want to know them quickly. You can do that when you have an inventory and you're a little bit more organized. So keep that inventory up to date so that you know at a glance what you have, and you can anticipate tax attributes that may arise if you liquidate part of those assets. Once you have that inventory, you really want to look at the details and see how your assets are diversified and what kind of taxation they would have if you sold something. All right. When we come back from our last break, I will try to finish up here. And if you have questions, always love the questions. Phone number 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We're doing a quick punch list of kind of little items to look at. It's not all-encompassing, as I mentioned at the top of the show. It's just some things to think about since it's almost September, and this is the month that it seems everyone tries to look at their financial picture. I did want to mention also on the investments about asset allocation. Asset allocation has a bigger impact on investment performance than what you pick. So if someone puts all of their money in a utility company, that's not going to perform necessarily as well as if you diversify, because asset classes typically move in different directions depending on what the cycles, the business cycles, and things like that. So asset allocation is quite important. You might want to review your own portfolios to see if you are diversified. Students and children, if you're working and have earned income, you can start a retirement account if you have savings. Monies in retirement accounts don't count toward financial aid when applying to college. So if you're a kid who saved $6,000 from some, you know, job that you had when you were 16, and you go to fill out financial aid applications, you list that account of $6,000, and a big chunk of that is going to be expected for you to contribute to your own college cost. If you instead had taken that money over a couple, you know, $6,000, let's say you put $5,000 into a Roth IRA, the retirement accounts don't count toward your financial aid. So that might be something you'd want to do. You know, typically what I'll see is parents will let their kids work and keep their own money. Sometimes kids have to pay for their own expenses. Maybe they have to pay for their own gas. Maybe they have to pay for their own clothes, books at school. Maybe they have to pay for their own college education. If that's the case, they may not have any money. But if you are someone whose parents kind of cover those costs for you and they let you accumulate your own earnings, you might want to think about putting that money into a retirement account. And that wonderful Roth IRA is a great option as well. Because sometimes if you're making, you know, $5,000, $6,000, you're not going to have any income tax. So putting it into a Roth IRA, it's a great, great place for it. And again, the original contributions can always come out. Want to make sure you always understand all the limitations and rules of those. This is general education information. So tax planning. Prior to making financial decisions that involve selling investments, cashing in annuities, or taking distributions from a retirement account, we want to make sure that you know what the tax impact will be. So remember when we talked about Having an inventory of all your investments and all your assets, this is why. Because if you have that inventory and you know what kind of assets they are, you will be more likely to understand the tax impact of some of those decisions you make. This is especially important for people who are Social Security age and you're receiving Social Security. Social Security is taxed based on the other income on your tax return. So someone who just gets Social Security, they're making $14,000 in Social Security, and that's all they have. None of it is going to be taxable. Someone who's making $14,000 in Social Security and they have $10,000 of pension income, their Social Security is still probably not going to be taxable. But if they have $50,000 of pension income, some of their Social Security will start to be taxed. If I take another $50,000 out of my investments and have a capital gain of $50,000, up to 85% of my Social Security will be included in my income. Well, maybe I didn't need to take that $50,000 gain out of my portfolio. Maybe I could have taken it out of something that didn't have such a big gain, or maybe I could have offset it with some losses. You want to understand what your financial transactions are doing to your tax return. So if you're, you know, coming up on September and you had some strange transactions, maybe you cashed stock options, maybe you took money out of an annuity, maybe you took money out of a retirement account, or you cashed in a beneficiary IRA. You want to make sure you understand the impact that before you spend all your money, you have the income tax set aside to pay next April. All right? Or you have withholdings taken out of, you know, whether it's an annuity or a pension or an IRA distribution. You want to make sure you have those taxes covered. The other thing that you want to watch out for, if you're over 65 and you have Medicare and you're paying Medicare premiums, and I think they're about $120 a month now, again, if you go over, if you're married filing joint, you go over $170,000, your Medicare premiums increase. So to the extent you can kind of control the income on your tax return, you might want to watch out for that increase in the Medicare premium. Students, what I want to make sure students are paying attention to is if they are working and they get a pay stub, they get a paycheck or a pay stub that goes along with that paycheck, read that pay stub, read that so you understand what it is you're paying. Some people say, oh, I didn't get money, I paid all those taxes. Well, some of that is going to be Social Security tax, which is going toward, in the event you become disabled, you have to have so many credits, you pay in so many credits, which is a period of time, into the Social Security system. If you end up being disabled at a young age, you have paid into that system and might have some Social Security coverage. I know that when I was young, I babysat, and the guy told me my paycheck was going to go down because he was paying Social Security on me. Well, I never, ever believed him. Believe me, I thought, oh, he's just paying me less money. Well, years later, when I got my Social Security statement, reflecting my earnings all those years, I couldn't believe it that I had earnings when I was like 14. And the guy I babysat for was, you know, redeemed because he, in fact, did do exactly what he had said and was paying Social Security tax for me back, way back. So if anything had happened to me, I would have already started earning credits toward that disability. And thankfully, I never needed that. But students, if you look at your pay stub, or parents, have your students look at their pay stub and see what they're doing, and put it in perspective of what those taxes are paying for as well. I mean, so many people complain about taxes, but we also are, you know, revitalizing roads and communities and paying for, you know, our food to be not tainted and things like that. So that's what our taxes are going toward. Retirement accounts. I did mention the simple things for students to do, maybe saving in a Roth IRA. What should adults do? You should understand the retirement plans that you have available at work. If there's a retirement plan at work, you should be given material to help you understand how the plan works. And, for example, a 401k plan, there's something called a summary plan description. They're going to hand you this little booklet. It's the summary of the probably a 3-inch 401k book. But that summary plan description is going to tell you what is available, what the nuances of the plan. It's going to tell you, is it a regular 401k? Do you have a Roth 401k feature? Meaning some folks have a Roth 401k feature where you can actually use after-tax dollars to put money into a Roth 401k. It will tell you if there's matching, what the matching is. Sometimes there's a profit-sharing piece. It will tell you when can you take in-service distributions. Maybe when you're 59 and a half, you can take a distribution out of the 401k and put it into a rollover IRA. Maybe you want to manage it yourself. So there are certain provisions within a summary plan description that you need to understand. And you always want to make sure you're taking advantage of that free money if your employer is matching. Oh, caution on that too. Sometimes people will try to front load their 401k. They'll say, hey, do 25% in January and February. Maybe you're a salesman, you get commissions, and you get them all early. Well, if your employer matches a certain percent and they do it by paycheck, if you front load it, you may not get the full match if you don't spread your employee contributions over the whole year. So you want to be careful of that. Make sure that you're getting your full match. Risk management is insurance. Review insurance policies for deductibles, coverage, beneficiary designations. Parents, when the kids move away to college and they're not driving the family car or they're not driving their own car anymore, notify the insurance company because it may reduce your rates. We did this with our daughter. It reduced the rate of our insurance on our premiums because she was no longer in the area. She wasn't driving the car because when we have those young drivers, it drives up the cost of our insurance. How old are your cars? Maybe you don't need that coverage anymore. You want to look at your personal liability. What else? Oh, the collision. So when you look at the value of your car, you don't necessarily have to continue to have maybe that collision or comprehensive insurance on it. If the car is only worth $500 and you have, collision coverage and your car isn't even worth the amount, you may be able to remove that and lower your premium as well. It might be time for people to look to see if they need umbrella policies. Umbrella policies are insurance that kind of imagine an umbrella over your current insurance. So you might have auto insurance and homeowners insurance. Umbrella is an additional policy that kind of is over both of those in the event that there is a lawsuit, for example. Maybe someone thinks you're worth money. Maybe you have a nice house. They think you're worth, they think you have a good job and you're worth a couple $1 million. Maybe they're going to come trip on your sidewalk and try to sue you. So an umbrella policy, typically you can get at a fairly low cost, maybe $1 million worth of coverage or $2 million worth of coverage, depending on what your total assets are worth. You want to talk to your agent to see if it's worth it for you to get that. And for people who live in areas that may have sinkholes, you want to make sure you have added sinkhole coverage to your insurance because for sure the insurance companies are not going to cover you if your house falls into a sinkhole if you do not have that coverage. I know someone it happened to, so this is one of my favorite cautions because it does happen to some people. And again, that coverage isn't terribly high either. So if you're in an area that has sinkholes, and the folks don't always have to disclose that either, because this was not disclosed to this person that I'm thinking of, and it was very, very unfortunate. And a storm came through and caused the damage, caused the sinkhole, and the insurance company disagreed with him and said, no, it had nothing to do with, Hurricane Lee or Tropical Storm Lee or something like that. So you can't always count on those insurance companies to cover you just because you think you would have had that insurance and you think it's because of storm, they're going to argue with it. So be careful. Also, do you still need the same amount of life insurance that you needed when you had children at home or a big mortgage or education in front of you? So if you have not reviewed your life insurance recently, you want to review your coverage to see if you still need it. So that's one of the to-do lists for that. And estate planning, if you don't have your documents, please see an attorney and get your documents done. It will make you feel better, and certainly the loved ones you leave behind after you're gone, you won't care, but it certainly might put them in a bit of a pickle or a mess if you haven't done your documents properly. So please see an attorney to do estate planning. Next week, I'm going to talk about the financial considerations in marriage, asset titling, beneficiary designation, survivor benefits on, retirement accounts, Social Security. So we're going to talk about that next week. And thanks, listeners, so much for calling tonight. I loved all the questions. Lori, thank you for being here to take the questions. Jeff, thanks for being here running the board. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.